Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Maths Hysteria, a podcast all about Married at First Sight with me, comedian Omar Abid, wedding celebrant Sarah Clark at Sarah Clark Celebrates on Instagram, and Claire Limmer Abid. All right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking, you know, we always talk about how Ben's not got a magnetic personality.
Yeah.
And I always say, if you want a career after this, yeah, you have to have that.
Yeah.
But it just shows how easily people can mess this up. Have you guys seen all the stuff with Ekin-Su online?
No.
I'm only aware of this because of the other stuff we follow through the Maths
Hysteria. Was she the girl who was on Love Island?
Yeah, yeah. And people loved her.
Like, yeah.
I don't watch Love Island. I don't watch Celebrity Big Brother. But people loved her because she's like pretty and everything. But yeah. She's
funny.
Funny, yeah, and down to earth and all this. After going on Celebrity Big Brother, she's totally trashed her reputation.
Oh, no, why?
She's come across, apparently, as, like, being really snobby and, like, kind of fame hungry. There's been, like, they did this, you know, that Celeb Big Brother's Little Brother or whatever it's called.
Like, whatever it's called now.
H.A. Adudu and the co-hosts were properly, like, to her face. And what's his name? Leighton, who was on Strictly.
Oh, yeah.
They were properly having a go at her, to her face.
Really?
Yeah,
oh, my God.
It's brutal. Which I'm quite surprised about with Leighton, because he was always, like, he got a lot of online abuse when he was on Strictly.
On Strictly, yeah.
So I thought it was kind of surprising. But, yeah, it's just totally...
You need a podcast that's just, like, reality TV.
Full stop. But just the highlights. He doesn't watch it.
You've really lost me now. You've wandered so far from my Celebrity Big Brother's Little Brother spin-off show.
Yeah.
I barely remember.
Twitter news. We don't watch Celebrity Big Brother.
Omar's
Twitter roundup.
Yeah. I've learned about Ekin-Su ruining her reputation.
Wow.
I've learned that the Kate Middleton video is AI Kate Middleton.
Oh, come on.
Her ring disappears. The blue ring disappears.
Oh,
but I don't know if that's just the refresh rate of the video. I'm really going into that, some wormholes.
You're a conspiracy theorist. Like, you're going to be living in a bunker.
All that time he spends on Twitter. Yeah.
Starting to worry.
It's not healthy. Yeah.
Well, you've got the pallor of someone who's just been watching the internet and pressing refresh.
Yeah. Come on, do you actually believe they put someone on the moon? Looking ridiculous.
Ekin-Su killed JFK. anyway.
Yeah.
There'll be people who are listening who love all those shows and know exactly what you're talking about.
Not that I don't know, but... Who won? Did somebody win? Well, obviously somebody won, but...
I saw his picture on Twitter, I don't know who it is. The other bit that's come out of Big Brother was a feud, I think they didn't get on anyway, between Jedward and Louis Walsh.
That's been going on for a while.
Oh, I heard this. He said they were awful and spoiled and
but weirdly,
horrible.
They recorded videos of themselves watching him slag them off on Big Brother while they were sat in a hot tub with Gemma Collins.
Oh, come on!
And then they did another follow-up one where they're watching it at like 10 o'clock at night at Gemma Collins' house, having a roast.
I'm definitely what Team Jedward. I follow them, they're amazing. But no, or I've seen them do lots of stuff on Twitter. But also, there's so much that's come out about how people were mistreated on X Factor and Pop Stars and all that sort of thing.
Not surprising, is it?
I'm Team Jedward on that one.
They were saying he didn't even send them like condolences when their mum died.
Whoa. Yeah. I mean, I don't think we're really that surprised, are we?
Well, yeah, you hate him, don't you?
I don't like Louis Walsh at all. He's annoying.
Yeah, I mean,
what can I say? Anyway, he's annoying. What can I do about that? What can I do?
Should we talk about maths?
Should we talk about maths?
Well, if you want to.
I mean, that's my celebrity Big Brother knowledge done.
Who wants to see a little bit of cake?
Other than Nikita was in it, who of course we love. From Strictly.
Right, okay. I don't watch Strictly, so... yeah.
She comes to our house twice a week and we didn't know she doesn't watch Strictly.
Yeah. I think I'd like Strictly, but I get sad because I want to be able to dance and I can't dance.
It is frustrating. But you just pretend that you can whilst you watch it.
That, yeah.
To drag this back to maths.
Yeah. Kicking and screaming.
I actually reckon someone who should go on Strictly, but I realise it might not happen, would be Mal. Because she can dance.
Oh, she looks like somebody who can dance.
She'd be amazing.
She's got that
on
glittery
Strictly.
Look, you know, that jazzy look.
No, she can dance, but the thing is, I've said this before on here, but the problem is, I've realised, is probably the scheduling doesn't work out.
Yeah.
Because when they're doing Strictly, I think she'd still be doing Australia.
But Aussie have their own ones, don't they? Isn't it like Dancing with the Stars?
She could do.
Maybe she has.
Yeah, but you want to be on British Strictly.
You want to be on original Strictly.
Yeah.
OG Strictly.
So, dragon kicking and screaming, back to maths.
No, just one more thing. No, okay. Yeah.
So we're going to talk about them in consecutive order again. So we'll talk about the commitment ceremony, the CC.
The CC.
The big CC. Having talked about GC, Gemma Collins. And then the friends and family debacle.
Friends and family is usually a good week because you get to see some favourites from the weddings and people you didn't like from the wedding, so that's often interesting. But yeah, we'll start with the commitment ceremony.
I will go out on a limb and say I think the commitment ceremony is among the most satisfying television I've ever seen with my eyes.
I think it might be the best commitment ceremony I've ever seen.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
And obviously, well, not obviously, I think sometimes we feel like the experts maintain quite a dignified distance from the drama. And sometimes it's frustrating because you know they're there to help people progress, and you know they're there to help the couples work on their problems, so they don't wade in often with the rumours. This felt like they got their hands dirty. Yeah. This felt like everybody was in it, and it was so satisfying.
It was amazing.
I don't think they ever like crossed the line, though, as well, of saying something, of being unprofessional.
No.
I think they got the pitch like perfect, because the general complaint about the experts is, oh, they never hold people accountable enough and all this.
Yeah.
And the counter argument to that is they're there to encourage relationships to work.
That's not their job to do that.
They're not there to go like, Jack, you're a dickhead. But they got as close.
This time they did. That's why it was so satisfying. They literally called like, yeah, it was so good.
And they're like, I wonder, we spoke about this off air, how they assign their various roles. Is it like, right, John, you go mad at this couple, and then Mel, you go mad at this couple?
Because they don't tend to talk over, it does feel like they take their turn to lay into people one by one, and they don't like talk over each other, but you could see that I've never seen them get quite so riled up, and that was really satisfying because what Jack did say was worthy of like a horrible reaction from him, or like it was worthy of being shocked and appalled.
Yeah.
And the fact they were shocked and appalled was so satisfying to watch. Should we rewind a tiny bit and talk about the other couples? And
well,
come
I think
to-
let's we're gonna have to do, because this series, everything, every episode has been so dense that I think again it does make sense to do it just chronologically. Let's start with Timothy and Lucinda, because that was big. They were the first couple.
Were they on first?
They were on first.
Oh my God. Right. And it was, yeah, they were.
It was quite surprising because I'd say there were two couples where the mood at the beginning.
Different to the end. Is the other one Tristan and Cassandra? Yes. Why do we always talk about Lucinda and Timothy in the same breath as Tristan and Cassandra? It's because we've got two women who are endlessly patient and two men who just can't quite.
Yeah, Tristan's pissing me off now. But anyway,
Timothy, his father.
Got to remember, before the commitment ceremony, the last thing we saw of Timothy was the was him telling Tristan about my dad said he didn't like me. That was the, or you know, however communicated that he didn't like him.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of sympathy for Timothy coming in, and he sort of, he's a bit petulant, felt he was thrown under the bus. And
well, the problem was he'd actually said something about her before she said anything about him. So they said to him, "Do you ever have the inclination to hold her hand? Do you ever have the inclination to kiss her?" And he said, "No. Never." Yeah. And so when she said the thing that apparently was throwing him under the bus, I don't think that was fair at all of him. No. Obviously you can see where he's coming from, because we met his friends and family and he's got this, all these walls and all this problem with seeing the negative in things. But he said something really damning first.
Yeah. And it was only like, you know, they said, "Oh, we've been to the strip club."
Yeah.
And all this. So funny. It was cut out.
I can't picture Lucinda. She was like, "Go, girls."
Yeah. She'd be loving it.
You own your power.
How did they get there without the camera crew? That's what I would like to know.
No.
How did they do all this without any of it being filmed? They were living it up the whole weekend. And there's no footage.
They snuck off. Which does sound like they were getting on well.
Yeah.
But for him to say, "I never once felt any affection in that way towards her."
Yeah.
That is categorically negative. Yeah. And then for her to say, "Oh, so it's not going anywhere." That's not throwing him under the bus. That's just repeating back to him what he just said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she only responded really to Alessandra saying, "It sounds like you're building a friendship." And she said, "Exactly."
Yeah.
That's how she feels. That's how she feels. And she didn't bring it up.
So petulant is a good word, because as someone of his age and status, surely he could have taken that as just, she's just speaking truthfully how she feels.
In response to what the experts said.
Yeah.
It's not like she went in there with a plan to say, you know, "I'm going to say this and I'm going to throw him under the bus." It wasn't premeditated, was it? It was in response to Alessandra holding him to account as to why, after 5 weeks, he's still writing "stay." So I think that was a fair question.
Completely.
And why are you still doing that? And what was it? You're wasting everybody's time.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Was that John or was that Alessandra?
That was John. He
said that. Thought that was harsh, mate.
If you're gonna be the same next week, frankly, I'd prefer you to leave.
I know. Like, the viewers wouldn't.
I think John was getting warmed up for the rest of it, like gladiators in the ring. Wow.
Yeah, just better get loose with Timothy Lucinda.
It was basically like a verbal lunge.
What didn't help was fucking Jaden.
Oh.
I agree with Timothy on this. And I know people are going to say, well, Timothy was happy to voice his opinions the previous week about Jack and Tori. But that isn't what happened. He was just sniggering
himself. He was asked.
Muttering under his breath.
He was asked by other people to like, even the following week, then Alessandra goes to him, "Timothy, you had opinions," and he was hesitant to do it. But they've asked him directly. It's not the same thing as Jaden just going. You've got to remember, it's not friends at first. Like, "Oh, fuck off. Fuck off. Oh, what should I do, mate? Should I sleep with her friend while you watch? Is that your advice?"
Yeah. And everyone gets really caught up in like the physical act of people having had sex or not. And that's just beside the point, because there'll be people like Lauren and Jonathan who will come to. We know they've slept together. Their relationship might be in the brink of crumbling entirely. It doesn't mean anything in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
We're all grown-ups, and we know that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to go anywhere. So Lucinda and Timothy, if he sorted himself out and was able to open up, they could have an amazing relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, Tori and Jack's a bad example of having not slept together, but it's not the be-all and end-all that people keep focusing on it so much.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's going to prove one way or the other if you're made for each other.
Yeah. But I think it's the lack of wanting, though, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's what Alessandra was getting at, I think, when she was like, but after 5 weeks,
do you want to hold
still
her hand?
Isn't anything.
Yeah.
So where are we going with this, really?
And also, if they did have this fun couple of nights out and days out and they were having a few drinks and it was silly and it was fun, like, that would have been the perfect opportunity for him to put his arm around her in a bar or hold her hand or something. And the fact he's really, like, keeping himself to himself... It's not a good sign.
It's not, and it was an even worse portent when
Shakespeare.
When they went and sat back down on the other set with the group, and he says, "Don't speak to me. Don't say a word."
Furious.
I was like, Mate, that's not good.
No.
It's
but
not.
Then John pulled him up on that as well. Yeah. If you stonewall, are you going to get nowhere?
Yeah.
But he did not heed that advice, as we found out later.
No. Yeah. And she remains endlessly patient and endlessly understanding. I've always felt like their relationship feels more like she's fostering a teenage boy and she's trying to prove she's trying to prove to him that she's going to be there
centered and strong.
Unconditional love and giving him boundaries and showing warmth and being understanding and letting him open up. And he's just like, I hate you, you're not my real mum. Like, he just doesn't, he just keeps pushing her and pushing her away.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm still here, I'm still here.
Mm.
Bless this mess.
Well, should we, like I say, we always talk about them in conjunction. Should we talk about Tristan? I couldn't quite believe it, because I don't think anyone thought after John's intervention it was going to last forever.
Mm.
We all knew Tristan had have a setback. I didn't think it'd be 2 days later, though.
It's just so up and down.
Wow.
It's quite painful. And the way that Tristan operates, it does feel like he has happy, positive Tristan and then quite depressive Tristan.
Mm.
And I don't know if there's much of a middle ground, so it does feel a bit chaotic sometimes.
Yeah.
And poor Cassandra probably doesn't know where she stands.
Yeah.
But he said, I'm freaked out, I might not be enough for her. And Mel came up with an amazing line of, Tristan, is there a possibility this might just be in your own head? Because that's the pattern that we're seeing, where he keeps like having this whole world in his head.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating to watch because it is so repetitive.
Yeah.
I think as viewers, we have, and obviously as the experts, we have sympathy for people, but when they keep doing it week in, week out, you're like, get a new tagline, get a new story, because this is getting really old.
Yeah, it is. Like, how many, he said, oh, we should have had this chat this morning. You've had the chat 5 times.
How much time have they got on their hands as well?
Which
I think is probably unhelpful for him. To not have work, not have family, not have friends, not have hobbies, whatever. Because then he's probably even more in his head than he would be in kind of usual, normal, real life,
I guess. That's true.
But they've got time to have these conversations.
I did think that was
pre-CC.
Exactly. I did think that was mad when he said, oh, we should have had this conversation earlier. Like, they have had that conversation. That shows a massive lack of self-awareness. Because I do think one of the things we like about Tristan, one of the things we normally like about Timothy, is they are quite self-aware of where they are falling short.
Yeah.
Of, like, Timothy, you know, Tin Man. I nearly called him Iron Man. The Tin Man. And Tristan knows that he gets in his head. But to say that, it's like, you've had this conversation so many times.
Yeah.
She keeps reassuring you.
But I think the difference between Timothy and Tristan is Tristan seems to snap out of it so quickly when the experts tell him something.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, okay, great, I'll do that. But Timothy just sits with his, like,
it is just
stonewalling the other person. He just sits with his frustration for so long. He's like almost really stubborn with it.
It's like you both kind of said there, it's happy Tristan, unhappy Tristan. He just flicks a switch and it's from one to the other.
And it depends on the last thing he was told or the last thing.
Yeah. But interestingly, it doesn't seem to be that Cassandra can get him to flip that switch.
Yeah.
That's
how real a flip is it, really? Like, is he actually... I know he's hearing what they're saying, but he's not actually then doing anything with it afterwards.
No. Mm-hmm.
Because it's like it's then kind of gone.
Otherwise, John's advice should have hit home a bit harder.
Yeah.
And he was like, yes, boss, to Mel. I think he just wants to keep everybody happy.
Yeah.
And there's a sense of, like, if he's told what to do, he has to go, oh, yeah, yeah, fine, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
and then
that,
actually
yeah.
it hasn't sunk in.
Yeah.
Enough.
I was surprised he put leave, though.
I'm surprised he put leave.
That shows how drastic his feeling is, that he's like, he really thinks, oh, I've just, you know, he believes what he's doing is right.
Well, maybe it is.
I think it might
be. Maybe it's right for him to leave, but then in that situation, on the couch, he's talked out of it again.
Yeah.
So then it looks quite jarring.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So then is he going to go home to the apartments and things are fine for that night?
Mm-hmm.
And then what's tomorrow going to be like?
It's chaotically up and down, isn't it? And it's quite painful to watch, to be fair.
Right, what we're going to do is blast through the happy section because we don't care.
Yep, you're going well. Well done.
Jaden,
see you next week.
Jaden and Eden.
Pretty cute.
Good, fine.
They are... What I find quite sweet about them is when we do cut to them in their flat, they are always intertwined. They're always sitting with their legs on each other and, like, I don't know, it feels like genuine connection.
Yeah.
When we see it on the CC, of what they say seems to reflect how we do see them behind closed doors. They're always, they look like a genuine couple.
Yeah, they do.
Like,
they're into each other.
You know, when you put
they?
Your feet up on someone and they've got their arm around. Yeah, it's just comfortable. It's cute. It's, really comfortable with each other. That's the word I'm looking for.
Comfortable.
Comfortable with each other.
I would appreciate a few more shirt buttons.
Yes.
Don't know, that wasn't on the old shirts. George of the Jungle.
That was a little bit too exposing, I felt. But, you know, it's up to him, fine.
Free the nipple.
Then, what's his name? Bridge.
Bridge. Oh, yeah, Bridge and Jade.
Bridge and Jade.
To give them credit, doing very well.
Doing very well.
And the least problematic of probably all the couples, because even Eden and Jadedenden have had their dramas.
Mm.
And I think Bridge and Jade, I'm sure we'll see some bumps in the road at some point, but they seem to be quite straightforward. They like each other, they're just cracking on.
Yeah, they seem good. I mean, we're gonna talk about the Tuesday night's episode obviously in a little more detail, but we've not really seen, if the worst thing you can say about him is that he says dece a lot, like, you know,
also put me in handcuffs. The old girl
I'm
a bit fed up with that now, thank you very much, but she doesn't seem to care, so there we go.
He's like a butcher from the 1940s. The old girl upstairs or indoors.
Who else was the homosexuals?
The beautiful Stephen and Michael.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just gorgeous. I love them.
Yeah. They're going well.
I mean, what,
aren't they?
It felt like they turned a little corner in terms of parking the stupid little red flag that they had of, you know, Michael not even knowing who the previous groom had been. And Stephen allowing that.
Yeah.
Do you think Stephen just had to hook his insecurities onto something and he chose that?
Yeah. He said he's come into it with walls.
Yeah.
You know, and he just needed John to say to him, yeah, obviously we had someone else, but you're better. He needed just like an external person who was involved in the process.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if I need to be more mysterious. I don't have any walls.
You have to have walls before you go on to maths.
I don't have any walls. I just implicitly trust everybody and I'll tell everybody all my life story and they'll be my best friend and I don't have any. I just need to be a bit more mysterious.
I know, God, after we first met, Jesus.
I was probably holding your hand. No, I think, I hope that they're going in the right direction. If they can park that little hiccup. They've said they fancy each other.
Yeah.
We haven't heard what's going on behind the scenes. We haven't heard if they're super affectionate or sexual or anything like that.
No.
Maybe they're quite private with that stuff. They don't seem super like.
And it's so early for them as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm. We've only been in there a week.
Well, this is a thing with
good sex life. They're like, oh,
how's it going?
Yes, it's getting there.
It's the same with Jade and Ridge, isn't it? There's not too much to say about them yet because they've come in. We've seen their weddings. There was that crazy dinner party, and now they're into the first commitment ceremony.
I think they're all patting themselves on the back, the new couple. Well, other than Schmadelin, because they've seen the drama and they're like, oh, we're okay. Like Ridge has said to Jade, we're doing all right.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Michael and Stephen probably feel a little bit of that, of like, let's just keep our dignified silence.
We don't need to get involved in the drama yet.
Yeah.
Let's talk about MASH. I think they called him at the...
Oh, they did, MASH.
Man.
That was... I feel like there's a lot we've not been shown from their thing. But will Ash's eyebrows ever come down?
I know. Bless him, up in his hairline, because he's just living in a permanent state of shock.
Yeah, that's the most I've heard him speak at the commitment ceremony.
I like him.
Yeah.
I think he's been really screwed over. And I wonder whether... Because I've heard a little bit of a debate behind the scenes of... Do the producers choose all the contestants or do the experts actually choose them and match them? How much do people have a say? Well, maybe we'll ask Mel. But I believe she was put on for ratings and I think it has gone back and... What's the expression? It's come back and hit them in the face. What's the expression?
Boomeranged them.
It's
them very good, oh my.
If the producers wanted her for ratings, it's crashed and burned. They've gone.
Yeah.
Week one... Commitment ceremony one, she was too much for him, and understandably. So surely it wasn't a good idea in the first place.
No.
I don't know who would be able to tolerate. We still don't know, is she all right mentally, or is she putting on an act? But either way, she shouldn't be in the process, and it's unfair on Ash. And then she put leave, and it's like, this is what... She seemed so pissed off on, yeah, on the couch.
But well, they walked, wasn't she? We've never seen a couple walk the opposite way around the sofa to get to sit. They went the long way around to sit next to each other. And obviously stuff must have happened behind the scenes, because we didn't leave them livid at each other.
No.
And then
well, at the dinner party, she was saying she was in love.
Yeah.
So, that was only the night before.
I don't know what's happened.
So, well, yeah.
But I do think it's come back to bite them. Is that the expression?
Yeah.
For putting someone in, if it is purely for ratings, and then they've just gone, what was the point in the first place? Like, it's so unsatisfying for us not to get to know them as a couple. If he was with somebody who was a little bit more, or if she was with somebody who was another medium, like put people who are going to match, put people who are going to actually have something in common. That just was a mess. From start to finish.
It was. It wasn't... Like, I wondered how much time we were going to get out of them in terms of just being entertained by her wackiness before it just gets boring. Because I think there's a very short half-life on how entertaining she is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad they've gone. Because it's like... There's only so many... His reactions are funny.
Yeah.
But it's sort of... It's so inauthentic, their relationship. It's hard to care about it, so...
And to give him credit, he was willing, you know, from the wedding, and because she was, you know, so chaotic on the wedding, and he was willing to give it a try. And he was like, oh, she's really beautiful, and I'm interested to get to know her. And I don't know if at any point he got to know her at all. Yeah. I don't know if she revealed anything authentic or...
Yeah.
I really wish they'd shown more of whether she ate any meat at the dinner party.
Yeah.
I really wanted them to zoom in and see if it was a beef burger. And, like, silent tear trickling down her face.
Yeah, she's just like, veal, please. even when they asked him about, you know, the work you've got to put in because you're going to stay for another week, he was like, he couldn't believe it. Like, there was no way
it couldn't be any worse.
Yeah,
didn't he? Oh, well, it couldn't be any worse.
No way it was going to last. I'm glad they've gone.
And then Claire, you made a point before we started recording of they didn't even show her reaction. He announced they were leaving.
Yeah,
there was no vox pop thing behind the scenes of her.
Yeah, and so they had a discussion. It seems by what he said, that had a discussion and agreed to leave.
Yeah,
but we didn't see that discussion. But also we didn't see Madeline's take on the fact they were leaving.
Yeah.
We only saw Ash explain that they'd agreed this and then leave with a suitcase. Out the Sky Suites.
Yeah.
But we didn't see her.
No.
So it feels like something's happened there that we're not privy to.
I've said this before, I would watch an unedited version of Mavs to see all the behind the scenes.
I mean, that would be interesting.
Not to bring it back to Big Brother, but do you remember when there was the 24-hour camera and you could watch them sleep? Yeah. That's what I want.
But with those two, that would be really interesting.
I
feel like we haven't been told what discussion happened.
Yeah.
Did she just say, that's it, I'm going, and she went? So therefore... You know, there couldn't be a VT with her.
Yeah. And what are they like when they're just having their cornflakes? Like, do they have normal chat about the weather, or is it really wacky all the time?
Mm.
Yeah, this is it. Is she just on all the time?
Yeah.
Is he interesting enough to bring back next year? He's been screwed over.
Bring them back.
I don't know if he's interesting enough, but he's a sweet guy.
Mm-hmm.
I
mean, do you think morally they should bring him back?
He deserves a second chance. Bloody hell.
They could find a match for him, I'd imagine.
Yeah, he seems fairly easy to match, doesn't he? There's nothing, no major red flags.
Yeah. Well, not that we got to find out about.
Nah, he seems like one of the people you would put in as like one of the sweetheart couples.
Because, a nice filler. Sweet filler guy. I don't know if you bring sweet filler guy back, but he is sweet.
You're not interesting, but you're social glue.
Yeah.
And that's very important.
He deserves better. Justice for Ash.
We've decided we're going to talk about Ben and Ellie next because I'm in danger of forgetting about them.
Well, John said you were very quiet at the dinner party.
Were
they even there? We saw them at the cocktail party bit, cocktail reception, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure we even saw them at the dinner table.
No.
He never quite looks like he's present, though, as well, so I'm not sure whether you'd... he's a strange old fish.
It was another nice little warm-up stretch for John.
I know.
Ben was going, you know, I have feelings in different situations. There are different things which come up, and I'm an ambivert. And just go, I don't understand what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what John
said.
I don't understand any of this, Ben. And the whole room's like, snigger, snigger. The geography teacher's gone off on one. It does feel so much like they're the teachers.
Yeah,
I know. Been brought in to see the deputy head.
Yeah.
People need to... pull Ben up for talking around. I mean, I know I can't string a sentence together and I'm trying to be on a podcast, but he just can never really genuinely say how he's feeling, how it's going. And Ellie was looking way more dejected than usual. Yeah. I think she has really hit a wall.
Good. Because I'm glad she said, look, you are trying to control the narrative here. Yeah. I don't know what's going on. I feel like I haven't got a voice. So that's it. I'm leaving. So good.
I remember
she spelt it out, didn't she?
At the wedding, I wasn't more annoyed by the cousin being so rude to him. It was there were definite question marks from the very beginning with Ben.
Yeah.
Even though I was annoyed by the way the cousin raised those questions. And those there were legitimate issues with like how he was responding to what he was being asked. Mm. And it's taken this
evasive.
Long.
Evasive.
Yeah. Mm. It's taken this long for Ellie to sort of to catch up. And I'm glad as well. Again, like let's start getting rid of some of the dead wood.
I know, and actually, yeah, I'm really pleased. Ellie was going to be in danger of being one of those people who would sort of see the best in him continuously and keep giving him leeway. Yeah. And like, that's what she did for the first 4 weeks. And we were all like, oh, he's not really opening up to you and he's being a bit evasive and all that. And now she's seen it. That is satisfying.
Yeah.
But then he just disappears from the building and she doesn't know where he is.
Oh my God.
Oh, he's... I mean, let's give him some credit for being a little bit more interesting by disappearing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, where do you think he went?
Well, he was just outside.
Oh, when he happened to answer his phone. Oh, yeah, I'm just outside.
And you could see his little head like, down at the bottom. Do you think he'd just been doing laps of the building? I don't know. I don't find him very interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's worth fighting for. I'm annoyed at him. I think we were fed a false narrative from the beginning because I always remember his first... little introduction on the video and it was like, I'm finally ready to settle down and I've travelled the world and I've got so much to give and, you know, my friend passed away and it's changed my perspective on life. We just didn't see any of that. We didn't see any fight, any passion, any willingness. He was just never present. He never felt like he was present in the show.
I mean, now literally he's still...
I know. Yeah. So Ellie does justice for Ellie. Maybe Ellie and Ash.
Maybe.
Mm.
She needs a bad boy with tattoos who eats cow.
Now, this is an interesting one, Richard and Andrea.
Mm. Oh,
because
yeah.
on the E4 airing, I think it's different when you watch it on catch up. I think they leave the Australian stuff in.
Oh, did they?
I'm not sure. I'm kind of going on what people say on social media.
Mm. Right.
But on the E4 airing of the previous commitment ceremony, it was edited out when Richard said, yeah, we licked, we sucked, we fucked.
Blah.
And that's what Andrea was referring to this week when she was saying it's burst her bubble.
Yeah.
And a bit humiliating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, you know, we brought it up on our episode. It would be. It's not surprising. Yeah.
But it's interesting to hear from her because we weren't sure. We assumed it would be humiliating, but we didn't know if they're on the same, like, jokey wavelength or whatever. And she was like, oh, typical Richard.
Yeah.
But actually, it did humiliate her.
So it seems Andrea was triggered by the... not very kind. Well, they were kind, I suppose.
They were just a bit degrading.
They were crude, weren't they?
Yeah,
so
crude.
It seems she was triggered by those words that Richard used at the last commitment ceremony because of past relationships she's been in. So it's kind of reminding her of those experiences. So she's switching off.
Agreed. But also to hold Richard to account, things can be triggering to remind you of the past. But what he did do was degrading in itself.
Yeah, I agree.
So in the future, she might be triggered thinking back to this.
Yeah.
Because it's like, if you hold it in its own, you know, right, it was still not a nice way to behave.
Definitely. And I didn't like the way he said, I've owned it, but she's got her walls up. It's like, you did do something wrong.
Yeah.
When you say you've owned it, can you just say sorry?
Why. Yeah.
I feel like he wanted to snap his fingers and be back in the throes of sex 4 times a day.
She's fine now, I've said sorry.
Yeah, and he was like, why is she still being a bit dismissive? I'm like, because you've been a knob.
Yeah.
I don't like him, I've said.
Well, haven't you?
Yeah. I think he's just, it's hard to understand how he's got so far in life. And we met his daughter who seemed great and like he had this lengthy marriage. How's he got so far in life without really understanding the things he says have impact? Like we saw it in the photo challenge.
He really
misread her in the photo challenge. She was like, oh, she's happy that she's number 3 or whatever she was. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
He's
happy. Yeah, she's completely fine.
Fine. And then to say those like degrading things the other week and think everything was going to be fine. And then when she pulls him up on it, be like, oh, well, why she got her walls up? It's like, read the room.
Yeah. That's twice he's done things
I think
that
it's
have
more,
hurt him.
Yeah.
I wonder as well, like, when he's pulled up on these things, he seems to go into kind of pity mode.
Yeah.
Mm. Like he starts, you know, sort of crying and like he's you know, very close to it and being like, look, can't you see I'm upset about it? How, this is how bad I feel. Like, fucking grow up. Mm. Oh.
On a side note,
I'm in a bit of a pissy mood today.
How old is Andrea? Do we remember? Is she late 40s?
51.
I want to look like that. When she was wearing a black boiler suit and she had her side ponytail with her rose gold hair and she had this rose gold velvet ribbon. I just think she's scrumptious.
I love her hair colour.
She's scrumptious. I want that hair colour.
You could pull off that hair colour.
Well, I had pink hair once and it didn't last. It just washed out.
It is the type of colour that won't last very long. Yeah. I bet she has that done every week. Hers. Sorry, Omar.
This is gorgeous, but she just like glows on screen. Yeah, and her personality as well, like I think she's amazing. And again, another woman who's quite patient and forgiving and warm. And I don't know if I'd be a bit more petulant myself if somebody upset me on this show. I'd be like, your chances are gone. You know,
just you'd be more Timothy.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, hold a grudge. Just out of, you know, pride. But I think a lot of these people give people a lot of chances.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's something we'll have to keep an eye on. If it's a pattern he keeps repeating, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
And is it with him, is it just an ignorant like approach, or is there a more menacing undertone of him just being a bit of a knob? Because I feel like he is maybe just a bit unaware.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He says things, he gets himself in trouble, and then he's like, oh, I didn't really mean to like offend.
Yeah.
And then everything, he expects everything to be fine then.
Yeah.
But maybe doesn't learn for the next time. Yeah.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We're doing the last two couples as a main event.
Deep breath.
Get ready.
I mean, the start, Jono apologising to Jack and Tori. Oh, it was her birthday as well. We forgot to say.
Oh, yeah. Tori's birthday. Wow.
Hope I didn't ruin your birthday.
Jono made it worse, didn't he?
Why did he make it worse? Why did he apologise to them? First. Because what did he say? Something like, I feel responsible for ruining their night.
Ruining your night.
Yeah. What?
And we'd already seen, I think Lauren said to camera, I need him to show me he's a man and not a boy. Mm. He went on and was like, oh, I'm sorry, mate. Like, I shouldn't. No! Stop doubling down.
You guys are amazing. He said that as well, didn't he? You guys are amazing. I love you guys.
So he's saying to somebody who basically verbally abused his wife, you're amazing. I love you. I'm sorry I ruined your night. Mm-hmm. Like, what planet is this man on?
And he would say, no, I did defend her, Sarah, didn't you?
Yeah, I didn't
know. I feel like Sarah was the worst person to ask that question to.
Yeah.
But I'm glad it was shot down. John brought it back and was like, no, you're not doing this.
Yeah.
You didn't defend her.
And we saw Lauren, I mean, this was the following day when she said, saying once, oh, mate, that's a bit out of order. You know, it's not a rigorous, like, into her defence.
I think Lauren was really fair because she said, I didn't need you to yell. I know that's not your personality. Yeah. You didn't have to yell. I just wanted you to, like, gently stand up for me in your specific way.
Yeah.
And that might have been a hand on the back that might have been saying quietly, Jack, you've got to stop.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you have to yell. I think maybe Jono's associating Lauren wanting him to stand up for her with being like really alpha and really loud.
Yeah. Bagel's being quite alpha and just making noise.
At one point, Jono was giving me vibes where he'd rather be in a throuple with bloody Jack and Tori because his body language was facing away from her, looking towards them, trying to get back in their good books. Beep, 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 beep.
Speak. Bagel agrees.
And Lauren sat there again. I'm really on the women's side this year, can you tell? But being really patient with Jono, because she wasn't asking too much from him. She wasn't sat there going, I deserve an apology. She was just quietly waiting for him to work it out for himself almost.
She was very calm.
She was. It's just quite pathetic. And I'm sure I've done this myself. In fact, maybe I'm being triggered because I do this myself. But watching Jono try to play both sides and trying to keep everybody happy, like, this is such a people pleaser thing. And I know that I can be like that. But it's really pathetic to watch it play out in real time and watch everyone's reactions. If you try and please everybody, you please nobody.
Yeah.
So Jack's not going to count him as a solid mate. Why would you want to be friends with Jack anyway? But Jack's not going to trust him.
Yeah.
And of course, Lauren's not going to trust him. So he's let everybody down.
Yeah. It took until Jack and Tori were on the couch and then the experts then went back to Jono because they were confused for him to finally say, this is what you said. And even then it was a bit mealy-mouthed. He was that, but that's the most definitive we've got from him. But during his whole session, even with John saying to him, you know, you weren't vociferous enough in defending your wife.
Yeah.
If someone said that to my wife, motherfuckers ended up in the hospital.
I know! Thing. John, I'm not entirely sure. This is the most helpful mess. I wouldn't stop. Yeah. I was like, well, what are you going to do?
All
this
guns
is not
blazing.
A great message.
Yeah.
John wanted to match toxic masculinity with toxic masculinity.
Exactly.
Oh, no, I kind of loved it.
No, it was. I've seen a lot of people on Twitter just being like, I'm really attracted to John.
Oh, man. Yeah, I just...
But even Jono saying, oh, my recollection of last night's not great.
No, oh my
You know,
God.
It's like, Jono, you know what John is asking you.
Yeah.
John is asking you, what was the comment? You know what the comment is. Your recollection of the rest of the night might be a bit hazy. Okay, fair enough, because probably you were panicking.
Yeah.
So, you know, fine. But you know the comment he's asking you about. So then Lauren had to say
it. I mean, to be fair, though, to be fair to him, the decibels.
Oh, what the hell was that?
I actually think that was one of the worst parts of the whole thing.
He should have just stayed quiet like the rest of the blokes.
And
because he actually made it worse.
Alessandra was like, Ben, do you need context for a comment like that? And he just didn't understand her. She did it three times.
Yeah.
Ben, do you need context? And he was like,
the decibels.
The decibels. What an idiotic thing to say. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, maybe if he'd said something like, oh, look, I was at the other end of the table, I couldn't really hear, the comment had gone, and then it moved on to something else.
That would be fair.
You know, fine, you were too far away. But why are you talking about decibels?
But he was talking about the lead up to the comment. Like, the comment could have been warranted. Honestly.
They were talking about legitimate dog training.
I know. I loved that John pulled up all the men.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably one of the most satisfying moments. Just saying, why did nobody speak up for her? And then he also said, you're hearing this, aren't you, Jack? We'll come to you. I was like, woohoo!
Well, but
John said again.
he was careful how he said it, though, which leads me to suspect that he said, why certain of the men, or something like that.
Yeah, he did say something like that.
We spoke about that. We had some information that maybe Timothy in particular had stood up for Lauren, and that it was edited out. But it certainly seemed like the majority.
He said something like, hardly any of you said anything. Or he made it sound like maybe one or two did. In general, it was so satisfying to see the experts, who I do think of normally as completely unflappable, a little bit flapped.
Well, just when they were discussing what the comment was, which was that section of the commitment ceremony, John got Lauren to say it about putting a muzzle on her, and then Mel went, yes, he did.
Yeah.
She was pissed.
I know. God, that's what I loved. But I loved that they, all three experts, saw the severity of it.
Yeah.
And John was speaking up as a man to bring the men into question.
Yeah.
And then that both Mel and Alessandra were so brilliant. Just taking no shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And saying this is unacceptable in their body language, in the way they spoke. Because sometimes I think there's a little bit room for manoeuvre of like, oh, this person's had a difficult background, or this person struggles with this. It was like, this is unacceptable.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was quite black and white.
Yeah.
Definitely. Definitely. I thought they were all really good. So then it was Jack and Tori on the sofa, obviously. We're sort of jumping back and forth between these two couples because it's hard to... It was all sort of one thing.
Yeah, it was all one thing. Do you think Jack's apology was genuine?
Does well, anyone?
It's certainly
does anyone
odds
think
with
it
what,
was?
It's at odds with what he said at the beginning of the episode when Eden said he should be ashamed, and he was like, "I'm not ashamed. I'm glad I said it." It yeah. needed saying.
Yeah.
And actually, I would be more inclined to believe his apology. Not that I did. I'd be more inclined to if it wasn't for the very menacing ending where we saw where we saw them being filmed, perhaps without their knowledge. And he was like, well, that was just a load of shit anyway, wasn't yeah. it? And you're like, you didn't mean a word of that.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned Iron Man because I likened it to a Marvel post-credits scene.
Yeah.
There's like, it was suddenly like... fades back in and then you see the villain for the next film.
Yeah, just behind the scenes. And so Johnny's theory on this, because we've never seen a couple just after the commitment ceremony just sat there on their own. Johnny's theory was that maybe they call cabs for each of the couples. You know how they arrive in cabs and maybe they leave in cabs. And Johnny was like, did they purposely leave them called till last, put them on with their mics still on the sofa and just see what played out. What played out was Tori sick of it all, sad for herself that it was her birthday and she felt a bit sorry for her, to be honest, and then him just digging his own grave again,
but sort of manipulating her.
Fully.
It's like us against them. See how they are.
Well, it's interesting, a few people have said, And you often bring this up, Sarah, the body language of on the settee as well.
He's always got his hand holding her down, holding her arm, holding her neck. We saw it again when he didn't know anyone was watching, really, because they were cleaning up around them. There was somebody with like a Hoover. And I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah. But also, why doesn't Tori have a key for the apartment? Now, that in itself... isn't there? Yeah. Sorry if you can hear Bagel. Claire's had to pick him up.
I totally agree. Is there one key per couple? And
well, I wouldn't have thought so. I was going to say, in itself, it doesn't mean anything because I always take the keys when we go out.
I was going to say, is it as simple as if she were to carry a key, she'd have to carry a bag? And what's the point in carrying a bag to a CC?
But
he's probably got a pocket, so you know.
It played into the thing of like, this girl, on her birthday... alone with this guy that she can't quite trust, he's got the key, she's got nowhere to go, and he went, you're coming home with me, and she went, I have to.
Yeah,
the key thing is
that... All right. I thought you were a comedian. That was pathetic.
she would disagree, as she disagreed with Mel.
Oh,
who
she
just
did disagree,
laid
yeah.
out he's showing you, as you like to say, if someone shows you who they are, believe them. And that's exactly what Mel said.
No, that's not who he is.
Disagree. He's showing you how he reacts under pressure. His first thought was, under pressure, he went straight to something sexist and misogynistic.
Yeah,
and Tori said, no, it was just what was the top of his head.
That's the point.
Exactly. That's what Mel's saying.
And then she made it even worse by saying, it's not natural for Jack to talk that way. And Mel's like, it looked very natural to me.
Oh, Mel was on fire.
It was like John threw a lot of the episode, but then when we got to Jack and Tori, this is why it's interesting how they divide it, because Mel sort of took the lead. And, you know, she was saying, I'm very confused about, like, so is it attraction? Is it this? And then Alessandra came in and they tag-teamed him.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
It was a group effort to bring him down.
Oh, and also to try and pin him down on something. Because Alessandra was sort of saying, you're talking around it now. What is it that you're saying?
But this whole thing is semantics. It is annoying. Because I don't really care if Jack fancies her or not, but it's just gone back and forth on what's attraction, what's fancying, what's sexual chemistry, what's sexual spark. But ultimately, he's disrespected her and doesn't see it long term.
Yeah.
And so that people keep missing the crux of it. They keep talking around it and the language. Even what Jono heard in the locker room. I don't really care. It's just the way he talks about her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are two separate things. But someone said on Twitter, trying to defend Jack, was that he's made it clear throughout that Tori isn't his type, but he is. He understands she's attractive, and that attraction is building. It's like. That isn't the issue. The issue is the way he talks about her. But even if that was the issue, you have summed it up in 180 characters or fewer, more easily than he has done over the course of 5 weeks.
Then you've got the added thing of like him pimping her out to the other husbands, or him just the disrespectful things he says. That's what we care about. We don't care if he fancies her or not. We care the fact he's lied to her anyway. Just one thing with Tori she never looks embarrassed to be with him. And I'm thinking of an example when her friend came round, which we'll see in the next bit, the next episode. She just sort of smiles with her head on one side. Whenever somebody says something bad about him or he says something awful, she just sort of smiles quietly.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, are you not embarrassed of the stuff he's saying? Are you not embarrassed to defend him?
Well, it got to the end of that commitment ceremony and I just felt she was saying what the experts wanted to hear. You know, like saying, yeah, it did make me feel sick.
I know. And all
this, I'm not sure I believed her.
Well, it's which one's true? Do you have a dark sense of humour and you find him funny when he says offensive things, which you've been saying, or does it make you feel sick? Because, they, yeah. Honestly, I'm weary of it. And all the only thing that was satisfying was the experts, just laying into him.
Well, that seems a natural lead into the friends and family.
Getting matching tattoos.
Yeah, what the fuck? I mean, yeah, are you disgusted with what he said? She basically said it's a fuck you to everyone else.
I know. Which is it's a very permanent... Because obviously it wasn't each other's names.
No.
And it wasn't each other's faces. Like, imagine if she got his face tattooed on her. But it's still a reminder. You're going to remember why you got that tattoo. I was actually amazed he got one.
What?
Just because he doesn't like her. Right. So, like, it's quite a permanent, like, he's obviously trying to play her along to stay on the show, and then he's going to dump her like hot tamale. But the fact he got a tattoo, I was like, wow.
Well, I wonder if she wanted something more personal rather than just a devil holding her, holding her heart.
And he's like, oh, I'll forget this was about her. I'll move on. I'll forget.
Yeah, it won't.
Selective memory.
It won't matter to me.
I cannot believe they got matching tattoos
when they've not like even slept together.
They've not slept together. They don't like. Well, he doesn't like her. She knows there's red flags.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so funny.
Well, the point you made about whether she feels embarrassed or not. How much I like her friend Leah.
Oh yeah.
And I think, well, if she's your best mate, it makes me rethink how I feel about you because I don't particularly like Tori. Just in the way she reacts to the criticism about Jack and how much she's into Jack, it's like I question her credibility.
Yeah.
But then Leah turns up and I'm like, but Leah seems like
quality human.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's great. She was brilliant.
Like instantly when she came in and they had that massive hug and Jack started, he was fake crying like Matt Hancock.
Those tears were bizarre. Was he trying to get Leah on side and he thought that was the way to show that he like loved their friendship by like shedding a tear? But it was bizarre because he has this real like he likes to think of himself as a real tough alpha male who's a leader and has to dominate everybody. So it almost felt like out of character for him to decide to have a little cry.
Yeah, he bought a box of chocolates for her.
Yeah, he was like, that'll do it.
So Leah was shocked, really, wasn't she, by how Tori was being in the apartment around Jack, because she wouldn't have seen her since the wedding. So her feeling around Tori is normal when they're out and about and they're friends and they're in their day-to-day life. But that was in contrast to how Tori actually was in that apartment with Jack.
Being more
so that was very telling,
being
wasn't
more
it?
Submissive in Jack's words.
Yeah.
And he actually said in response to Leah saying that, haven't had to push anything or force anything, about her being under his control.
Yeah.
And to her friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he said something like, she submitted to the man in the relationship. Yeah, her words.
He's literally hiding in plain sight as the most awful human being. And how he obviously hasn't learned anything from that commitment ceremony, because this was the next day.
Yeah.
And he was being just as horrific.
Oh.
But then his little box of chocolates and his little fake cry. We're not stupid.
But didn't Leah say something like, there's a weird vibe?
Mm.
Oh, do you know?
Or did somebody else say that? Because all I've written is weird vibe. So is it that I thought the vibe was weird?
I think
or is it Leah said, yeah, there's a weird vibe here? Because there is. It's not normal.
One of my favourite things that Leah kept doing as a power move was calling him Jacob.
I thought that was like, is she calling him Jacob?
Is Jack?
Is that his actual name?
I've no idea, but it was such a funny move. She was like holding him at arm's length, being like, all right, Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
I see you, Jacob. I see you.
She said as well, you know, Tori and I know each other so well. She knows when I've got a dud. I know what she's got. She's got a dud.
She's got an absolute dud.
I mean, that's me saying the last bit. Not Leah, to be fair.
Yeah. But yeah. It was all a weird visit, that.
confirmation for Leah, I think, of the suspicions she had.
Yeah.
But she has also seen that Tori is more under his spell, I guess.
Yeah.
Ridge is actually quite mature.
I know. He's definitely, I'm warming to him.
He was really reassuring when Jade was talking
really
about the pregnancy. But then also said, I've got homework to do to make sure she feels reassured, even more reassured with me. It's like,
he was impressive.
Brilliant.
He was really, really good.
Did you clock when they were on the sofa and she was crying and he got up to leave and you're like, no, what's he doing? And it was just to get tissues. I was like, oh no. No, he was brilliant. And there was one point as well where they were talking on the bed and he like just pulled her in and held her close and was speaking like right up in her face, like in a nice way, like right up in her face.
You listen to me.
Getting up in a grill.
Yeah.
You don't need to worry.
Aggressive. No, he's really, really sweet guy, which I guess makes sense. I don't know if it makes sense or not. We saw how he was with his friends, but then we also saw how well he talked about his blended family.
Mm.
The fact he's got a really good job as a psychiatric nurse. Like, he must be relatively switched on to do that job. And so we're maybe seeing more of who he is behind closed doors when he's not acting up around his friends, which is immature and it's not a nice side, but maybe this is the real him.
Yeah, he's obviously very grounded and empathic when faced with strong emotions.
Yes.
Which I guess is from his job.
But
he's good at it, obviously. If you're going to be in that type of job, you've probably got that quality anyway. So
I like the bit where he said, cheating on her when she's pregnant, what a dickhead.
Yeah.
The guy needs to give himself a long, hard look and give himself an uppercut.
I know. And bless her. Like, my heart broke a bit for her to have gone through that age 19.
Awful. I wonder what his confession was, though. I always wonder this when you've seen one and not the other.
Yeah, the other one must have been.
Are we just assuming the other one was like really tame and really boring and nobody cares? Or is it just that was more powerful and showed them in a way that, you know, the producers want us to see them? I don't know. I wonder what his confession would have been.
His confession might have been like, I said I'm the best looking guy in Sydney, but there's one guy down the road who's also quite good looking. I have high hopes for them.
Yeah.
But I do feel like there might be some bumps in the road because it's maths.
Yeah.
And because they have started quite well. I feel like there
might be some curveballs.
Yeah.
As we said earlier, that we're very early in there. In their journey, if you like, you know.
In fairness to them, if they were made to do the photo ranking task, which I don't think they will be, I think they'd both put each other top.
Yeah.
I don't think he'd play games with her. I think he's really lovely in how much he affirms her and how much he compliments her.
Yes.
He keeps saying, you're everything I want, you're everything I ask for, which is so nice for her to hear because she was like, I'm not good enough, you're going to leave.
He might end up being the best groom out there.
I know. How funny. That's what I was thinking. I was like,
she wouldn't think that at the wedding.
No.
The friends and family episode ended with Timothy and Lucinda, which is how are we going to go into this? Just walk through the bloody door.
Oh. How awkward was that taxi ride?
I know.
And they'd been in separate apartments as well.
I know. So that's the first time they'd seen each other.
Yeah.
And then she just really wanted to be on the same page going in there, which I completely understood. Like, you haven't seen your family for a little while. It's embarrassing. Everyone comes to check how you are and you're not even speaking to each other. And then he was just being, quite petulant.
He was. Just walked through the bloody door.
I think you could agree.
I need to hear it again.
I think you heard door and we're thinking of Michael Caine.
The bloody door.
You sound like Michael Caine. I think you could be in the middle of an argument, but if you were two mature people, and I don't know if I'd be able to do this, but you could hold each other's hands, look at each other and say, right, I know we're in the middle of an argument, but let's just go in as a united front. We'll sort this out later. We know we like each other. Let's just see how we go. But he went in like still angry at her and still not giving her the cold shoulder. And then she just was obviously quite humiliated because her lovely family were there. His lovely friends were there. I'm so glad his friends were there. They needed to witness that. They needed to see him being typical Tim and see her be gorgeous. And then obviously her dad to the rescue.
Orange Wednesdays comes in.
He was amazing.
Yeah, he was. Don't get your tits in a tangle.
I know.
That was it, yeah.
What was hilarious about that was it could have gone two ways. Well, but Tim reacted to his exact sort of confrontational humour and being pulled up. Tim couldn't help but giggle.
I think he likes that. And, you know, Lucinda and her family enjoy making fun of Tim's moves.
I know, it's true. I think he needs a little bit of his own medicine sometimes.
Exactly. He likes that. When Lucinda said, and you've got boobs too, by the way, and the dad saying, you
tits
know,
in a tangle.
Don't get your tits in a tangle. I think he enjoys that sort of more direct, blunt approach.
Yeah.
You're right. It could have totally backfired because he was very defensive, but
yeah.
It worked.
It worked really well. But it does frustrate me a bit. We had this with Tristan. Why does it always take somebody pointing out the obvious for them to be like, oh, okay, yeah. Mm. All the dad really said was, can you not calm down and be a bit kinder?
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, go on then. That's a good point.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. Work that out for yourself.
Yeah.
You've been on this planet for 50 years.
No. You could have done that earlier when Lucinda tried to say to you, how are we going to approach this?
Yeah. And
you could have done it then.
It was interesting, though, to see Timothy's friend, speaking to camera and actually crying and getting really emotional about his background. Yeah. So I think we've only heard half of it.
Yeah. Mm.
Like, we know that he lost his brother to suicide. We know he lost his mum. We know he lost his dad. But it feels like there might even be more.
Yeah.
Because he's been through all this trauma that people keep... He's referred to... If we think about it, he did say, I don't want to open all this up and reveal. He's already told the producers that his mum and dad died and his brother died. I think there must be more that he hasn't revealed for the very reason he doesn't want to open up and share some of these things he's been through. And then the fact his friend cried... I don't know what it is, but...
The pattern seems to be, though, and we like both of them. We know Timothy has more work to do, and it's easier said than done, given the depth of what we do know about. And like you say, there's probably a lot more that we don't know. I mean, I wasn't expecting the whole, his dad didn't like him.
Yeah.
So who knows what else is there. But the pattern seems to be, they're on the ropes, they make a remarkable recovery.
Yeah.
Then they're on the ropes again. Like, how many times are we going to go through that?
Have they ever been on the ropes through something that was genuinely Lucinda's fault?
Oh, this is something I had in mind, right? When we were talking about the commitment ceremony and you said like how patient she is and everything. What do you think about her taking the blame? I appreciated it, but I felt she shouldn't have been apologising. I don't think she did anything wrong at that commitment ceremony.
But it seemed like she'd already apologised.
Yeah, I agree. I think she is such the bigger person, and she is somebody who, like he has said himself, she sees the good in people, I see the bad in people. Mm-hmm. Those were his words. Seeing the good in people, she's decided to apologise to help propel things forward
in a forward direction. Yeah, yeah.
The best response from him would have been, I'm not sure an apology is necessary, but thank you. You deserve an apology from me. But we didn't really see that.
No.
So we saw her be the bigger person, but him not necessarily rise to meet it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think Lucinda's doing the right... Yeah, I know, I get your point, because I'm not sure he's learning.
It feels like she's given up too much ground for me. I mean, which we've said before anyway, but it's always been like Timothy sort of has learned his lesson, but I worry that she's given him too much, given him too much leeway with that apology.
I think he blamed her too much for how he felt at the commitment ceremony. Mm. Because he was saying to her, was he saying to us, something like, she loved it. She loved the fact I got through it. Why would she love it? Like, that's hurt and he was upset.
He did
upset.
Say to her as well that, like, I think he enjoyed it when Jaden was on it.
Yeah, I felt like she was getting the blame because he was angry that other members of the group called him out on something.
Yeah.
She got the full blame for Jaden being, what did he call him? Old Fabio over there. She got the blame for Fabio with his unbuttoned shirt and long hair.
I think there was probably an element of Lucinda, because I would have been the same, that was satisfied that people were backing her.
Yeah.
But I don't think she was like gleeful about it.
No.
But how do we feel like it ended then on that episode of round the table, everybody was happy families again, but you're like, this keeps stalling because of Timothy's like inability to not hold a, like, he holds a grudge and he won't open up, and I still like him, like, despite everything. When he was giggling with the dad, I was like, this is the Timothy that we like, the little giggly like doesn't take everything too seriously. And when he takes everything too seriously, you're like, just take a step back and
we'll see. I mean, he says, you know, I hold the grudge, I do get pissed off, and you know, the dad saying it's boring and repetitive. it's repetitive, and you know,
it's the direct language he needed.
Yeah,
and maybe
the
dad should move in with them. I'm not sure. Like,
I'm not sure that would be appropriate given some of the dad's advice.
Have a one night stand with her.
Just try it.
Have a go. Just
see
go
how it is.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that.
Tristan and Cassandra need Mel. every day to just be like, replace one of your negative thoughts.
Yeah.
And they need Lucinda's
just give
staff.
It a go.
In that magnificent orange suit. You can see where Lucinda gets her openness and everything from.
We've just realised we've forgotten to talk about Jaden and Eden because we saw Mitch again.
He's getting his 15 minutes worth series as well, isn't he?
Mitch does often say like, oh, he's doing the process properly. Like he's really entering into it. So he really has learned his lesson, bless him.
Yeah.
But yeah, they do. I don't think we learn anything new necessarily there.
Just they're going well, they're getting on.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Eden's dad seemed nice.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
Done.
Mitch is very cocksure.
Which we already knew.
Yeah. Should we do another 15 minutes?
No.
I think that's it. Nothing else to say on them.
Yeah.
So we're going to see Moddy again.
Oh, Moddy.
I can't wait to see Moddy. I've missed
Moddy's back.
I've missed Moddy. He'll have some interesting insights,
yeah,
I hope.
Yeah.
We need
see
some Moddy wisdom.
Ask what their sex life is like.
Does
so,
he?
Yeah.
Like Lucinda's dad.
Yeah. Another similarity.
I'm so sex obsessed on this programme.
So, until Friday, I've been Omar Abid.
I've been Sarah Clark.
I've been Claire Limmer Abid.
We're sorry if you've heard bits of our dog Bagel in the background. It's been very annoying. He's got his Bagel. Don't get your tits in a tangle. Hiya, it's me again. Sarah and Claire have gone. I'm just doing the editing. A few of you might be wondering why we haven't mentioned Tim and Sarah in this episode. They were so compelling at the commitment ceremony. We've decided to do a special 45-minute episode just on that segment. You'll find it in your usual feed. We definitely didn't forget. All right, see you on Friday. Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.